Somebody's been wearing this with a big neck. Must be Steve. All right. We're continuing our study tonight in Christian attitudes. And talking about our attitude towards various subjects or situations or entities. And tonight we're going to be talking about recreation. Come on, there it goes. This is a particular subject that sometimes is neglected or misunderstood. There are various forms of recreation, and few people there are but what engage in some form of recreation. The old saying, all work and no play makes Jack a dull fellow, has considerable worth. The failure to recognize the scope of the word recreation has led some to criticize individuals for participating in innocent recreation when they themselves follow something that is as much recreation as what they are criticizing. And so we need to kind of keep that in mind as we're studying through this, that there are many forms of recreation. What are some of the forms that you can think of? Not necessarily specifically, but in general.
Group activity and individual activity.
All right. That's pretty nonspecific. Group activities might include what? Come on, Oscar. You know this one. All right. You know, participating in sports with a group of people. When I was younger, I used to like to play softball. I'd still like to play softball if I could, but I'm getting a little too old for that kind of stuff. What else? Say individually, what can we do that would be considered recreation? Right.
And so you consider what recreation is, you know, in conjunction with what you're doing. And a lot of times it amounts to maybe just a break from work.
It can be
a recreation for somebody, you know, a mental break.
One of the things I had in mind was taking a nap. You know, sometimes that can help us to recreate, so to speak. David? Right. Right. So let's look at some of the definitions of recreation. I've got four definitions here. Some of them are pretty specific, others are more general. Refreshment by means of some pastime, agreeable exercise, or the like, or a particular form or means of such refreshment, or a pastime, diversion, exercise, or other resource affording relaxation and enjoyment. The act of recreating. And that's, I'm never fond of definitions that involve the word that we're defining, but anyway. For the state of being recreated. Again, the word that we're defining is in there, but the point of that definition is it's a state of being recreated. And we're going to talk about a specific example of that here in a few minutes. And so these are some definitions that come from the American College Encyclopedic Dictionary. When I think about recreation, I think about Let me rephrase that. When I was younger, I used to think about, you know, exercise, activity, and so forth. I enjoyed those kinds of things. I enjoy competition, and those things are relaxing to me. And like Freddie said, not everybody is the same as far as what you find as recreation. My wife likes to read. I'm almost positive that's why she became a first grade teacher. And she was very good at teaching children to read. And because she loved it herself. She can sit down and read and read and read. For me, not so much. I like to be doing something active. There's different personalities that have different ideas of what is recreation to them. So let's look at our first point beyond the definitions and kind of keep that information tucked away in the back of your head. Number one, the Christian is not to deem decent, moderate recreation as wrong, but in many respects as part of a normal life in providing for his family. I have never thought about that particular idea of providing for my family recreation as a part of providing for my family. But yet, we almost all take vacations where we can get together as a family and enjoy the mountains or whatever together. Sometimes it's a theme park, especially when my kids were younger. We would wear the theme parks out in the Orlando area when we'd go to Florida. So that was kind of an interesting thought to me that considering it as part of a normal life and providing for one's family. And there are lots of things that we can do as a family together that don't involve driving 600 miles and that kind of thing. There are things that we can do in our own home and so forth, and we're going to talk about some examples of that here shortly. You're right, and it's coming up. Our Lord on occasion sought and engaged in a form of recreation. Jesus said to his disciples on one occasion, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while." That's in Mark 6:31. The rest would afford them, and remember our definitions, would afford them a state of being recreated. And so it was a time where they could get away from some of the crowds. We talked a little bit about that last week in terms of time. But it was an opportunity for them to kind of get away from some of the crowds and rest so that they could continue their work. During periods of recreation, opportunities and privileges of teaching may be part of the time. We think of Christ and his frequent visits to Bethany at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. While it afforded relaxation, it also was an opportunity for Jesus to do some teaching. And so, there was that opportunity along with the recreation or relaxing that they were doing.
Rob, it seemed like Steve was saying that even in his studies he gets to the point where he needs a break. And that's what he's talking about, is recreation or recreation of some form. Right. And he loves fly fishing in the creek down here until he fell in.
Right. Right. I know you and I both enjoy fishing too. You're a crappie man and I'm more of a bass fisherman, but those are some things that can be done as recreation. Just a time to be out on the water and clearing our minds and even thinks about. And that kind of makes me think of something. My fishing partner that I fish with most often is Baptist. In fact, he might even call himself a pastor. And we have a lot of discussions while we're fishing. So far, they really hadn't gone anywhere, but we do have discussions about it. So there's opportunities for us to enjoy recreation and discuss religious things. Paul made statements that would suggest the innocence of recreation. He wrote, "For bodily exercise profits a little." Some footnotes say a little time. That's in 1 Timothy 4:8. And such exercise is not to be compared with the exercise of godliness. So there's a prioritization taking place there. But it does profit a little or for a little time. And so he kind of mentions that. He, of course, was guided by the Holy Spirit in writing. Paul often referred to athletic contest with a spiritual application. And I'd kind of like to look at some of these verses because at first glance, I didn't necessarily see the application. Well, one verse I had incorrect, but 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24 beginning. And do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So he's talking about running a race or fighting or something like that, and he's making a spiritual application from it. When we run a race, we run to the best of our ability. We have to be temperate, which we have to be when we're running our spiritual race, in making good decisions and understanding what God would have us to do and planning to do those kinds of things. I think it's all involved in temperance. When you're running a physical race, you have to prepare for that ahead of time. You have to be ready when it comes race time. If you don't, you're going to fall by the wayside and you're not going to be very competitive. And so it's kind of that way spiritually is the point he's making here. And the point the author's making is that he uses some of these examples to teach a spiritual lesson. In Philippians 3:13, brethren, I did not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We talked about this last week when we were talking about time and not wasting time worrying about what happened in the past. But here he's talking about pressing towards the goal. for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. When we're participating in some kind of athletic event, we're pressing towards a goal. If we are successful, then there'll be, you know, some kind of prize. Sometimes it's just satisfaction to know that you've won. Hebrews 12, and of course the author is attributing the writer of Hebrews to Paul. We don't really know for sure who wrote it, but it's interesting that the author of Hebrews uses one of these type examples. It says to, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. And I hope to goodness we all know this passage. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Again, he's talking about laying aside this extra weight, attributing it to sin. But if we're running a physical race, we don't run it with ankle weights on. We might walk around with ankle weights beforehand to strengthen our legs, but we don't run the race that way. And then finally in 2 Timothy, and chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to those who have loved his appearing. So again, he uses the idea of a race here, and to that he's fought the good fight, he's finished the race, and he's kept the faith. And so he has all confidence that he's going to receive that crown. So another instance where Paul uses that a recreational activity. And again, I have never in my life loved running, but some people do. Eric Patterson used to go here, did a lot of running, and ran marathons and so forth. But that's not necessarily my thing. But again, we've already talked about the fact that different people have different ideas about what is recreation to them. All right, let's look at.
See somebody getting their head cut off or something like that, but they would have these big arenas and get in it, and crowds, I'm talking about real big crowds. Mm-hmm. And I remember y'all might not be as old as I am to know this, but there was a movie, Ben-Hur,
mm-hmm.
Carlton Heston played in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they was having this race, and they was racing countries for pride and for gold and all this stuff. And that race, there was much competition in it, that they had a wreck in one of the corners of those chariots and killed two or three people just making the race, making the film of it.
Mm.
So it was a lot involved in it, and a big reward if you could win the race.
Right. And some people they enjoy the adrenaline rush of doing something like that, I think. And, you know, today may be bungee jumping or parachuting, neither one of which I'm too thrilled about, but a lot of people do that. And so again, it's depends on the individual. And we're going to look at some specifics here in just a minute about what kind of recreation we should be looking for and avoiding. All right, so our second point here is the Christian is to understand that the individual is responsible for providing his recreation and not the church of the Lord. And there are, as Freddie mentioned earlier, there's a lot of churches out there that have gymnasiums and kitchens and things of that nature to provide recreation to its members. And so we know that it's out there. Uh-oh, what'd I do? Okay. The scriptures place such responsibility on the individual. And this is one of those situations where we're told what it is a part of the Lord's church, what its responsibility is, what its mission is, and we're going to talk about that here in a second. But we're not given any authority to use money from the treasury or for the church to be engaged in such activities. And we'll talk about that here some in just a minute. Fathers are to bring them, that is children, up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. We've already talked about the fact of, or about the idea that as we, as fathers, bring our children up, that providing recreation for them is part of what we do to provide for our family.
If someone gets hurt, you know, to express your sympathy, or if you get beat, what kind of attitude you going to have? There's a lot of things you can teach your child in recreation.
Right. So the point Freddie's making is when we're involved in recreational activities with our kids, we can teach them the attitude they need to have for their opponent, for someone who's gotten injured, or how they're going to react if they win or if they lose. So, part of providing for our own, that is the individual's responsibility, would involve recreation. 1 Timothy 5:8. Come on. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so we're clearly given that command to take care of our children, to provide for them the things that they need, which would include recreation. The mission of the church is to preach the gospel, relieve needy saints, and edify itself. And this is according to the eternal wisdom of God. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the idea that in God's wisdom he's designed a plan for the church, certain responsibilities it's supposed to do, supposed to take care of, and that is not, recreation is not involved in that. Now, we just had a gospel meeting, and for the first time that I can remember, I was able to be at every single service. And I'm telling you, that was edifying to me. It was upbuilding, it strengthened me. You might say it recreated me. I was able to be involved in that and to be rejuvenated, you might say. A lot of religious groups call meetings like that revivals, because they're intended to revive their souls in terms of reviving them to do the work that God's planned for us to do, and to not to just feel good about being here, but to feel good because we know what God wants us to do and we know how to do it, and then we can get to work doing it, and so forth. And so those, even a gospel meeting like that can be rejuvenating. There's nothing in the wisdom of God, I've kind of already said this, nothing in the wisdom of God about the church providing recreation for its members. Such cheapens the church and is a misuse of God's treasury, and reflects upon the wisdom of God. And so we have to keep in mind that God has given the church a job to do, and providing recreation is not one of those things. The author quotes from the 1951 Gospel Advocate Teacher's Annual Lesson Commentary, on page 29, and says, which says this: building recreation rooms and providing and supervising recreation activities at the expense of the church is a departure from the simple gospel plan as revealed in the New Testament. The church might as well relieve the parents of feeding and disciplining all the young people at church, or all the young people at church expense, as to take over the job of entertaining and supervising their recreation at church expense. Now, this was in 1951. We know how things have progressed in the religious world since then, and even going back further than that, was there any mention in the Old Testament, I mean not the Old Testament, the New Testament, about any kind of recreation being provided by the church? No, there wasn't. But as time has gone along, that has been brought in. And the question is, who has changed? Has God changed his mind about it? No, he hasn't. It's man that's changed the rules and brought in things that were never intended for the church to do. All right, any questions or comments about that? I appreciate all the ones who have commented already. I always say that when I'm teaching, I'm really more of a facilitator. It's your class. I'm just up here facilitating it. Yes?
About 1 Corinthians 11:22. It's regarding the Lord's Supper, but it's kind of in line with what we're talking about here. And it says, what do you not have houses to eat and drink in?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that our friends would have.
Right.
Fellowship,
yeah.
Dinners or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the church building is the church building funds.
Right. And a lot of times that happens.
Can you summarize the comment?
Hmm?
Can you summarize the comment?
Yes, he's basically talking about 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22, where it talks about the Corinthians are being gotten on to about the way they partake of the Lord's Supper, not doing it properly. And he says, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? In other words, it's kind of being done as a party or recreational activity, and that's being condemned here. So that was what Mike was saying. He was talking about fellowship dinners and things of that nature that some groups have that would fall under the realm of recreation. It's fine to fellowship with one another, but you have to do it in a way that is not a violation of God's word. All right, the third thing we want to look at tonight is the Christian must use caution in engaging in recreation. What ways do we need to use caution when we're engaging in recreation? What pitfalls can there be? Okay. So not interfering with worship service. Right. Could involve the way you dress and modesty. What else? Right. Right. Can it become an idol to us? Yeah. We can be so involved in it that it becomes an idol to us. And so, first of all, it must be decent, honorable, and innocent. A decent, honorable, and innocent pastime. And there's a number of verses there that talk about that, doing everything with thought as to what God would have us to do, and things of that nature. We don't have time to read all of those right now. But that's first and foremost, is it must be decent, honorable, and an innocent pastime.
But keep in mind just one verse there, 1 Thessalonians.
Yeah, that pretty much hits the nail on the head. We must not let it interfere with his worship and service to God, Matthew 6:33. Godliness is far more important than bodily exercise. That's the passage we already talked about, where Paul talks about bodily exercise being that profits a little, but it's far more important for us to exercise ourselves in godliness. Must not let such that may be decent in itself become idolatry to us. 1 John and chapter 5, verse 21 says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." That's pretty plain, except for the part about idols. What is an idol? It's something that we worship. And I can remember when I was in college and first out of college, I loved to play softball. But I could not let it interfere with worship service, with doing what I needed to serve God, and so forth. But sometimes we can get caught up in that kind of thing.
I think we're getting away from what used to happen. I don't know if it's good or bad, but your colleges used to never play a basketball game on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And now they play two games a week, one on Wednesday night and one on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's we're gradually getting away from.
Right. Harold's making the point that it used to be that colleges did not play basketball games on Wednesday nights. But we're starting to get away from those values. I know when I was a young man, we didn't have games on Wednesday nights. And this is in Florida where it's considerably more liberal than it is here. But it wasn't long before, you know, they started having enough participation. They wanted to do games on Wednesday nights and so forth. And so we can't let that interfere. I know there's a lot of young men that are playing baseball and so forth, or have been this time of year. I think most of them are done now, but. We've seen them come in, you know, with their uniforms on because they refused to continue with that game, but and miss church. They would come here, and sometimes their uniform would be clean, which means they were going to a game. Sometimes it'd be dirty, which means they had just come from a game that probably wasn't even over yet. And so,
it's another form of teaching your children.
Exactly.
Along that
line. Hey, yes.
Also, college campuses, they have Christian student centers, which they use that as a means of attraction to bring the people. Like, the student center might be right on the side of the church, and they would use that as a way to draw people to the church.
Right.
Just use it as a form of recreation.
Right. Especially on a college campus where you had a bunch, large group of young people. Anthony's talking about college or religious groups that have so-called Christian centers where, you know, you can go to participate in activities, and that they were using that as a lot of times they were built right next to church, the church building that they're associated with, and they used it as a way to bring people in through recreation instead of the proper reason for someone to be involved in a religious group, and that's to do with the will of God. The Christian should be moderate in all things. Philippians 4 and verse 5. What does it mean to be moderate, especially in relationship to recreational activities? Or anything we do, really, as Christians. Right. Not taking it to an extreme where it becomes idolatrous for us. Not taking it to an extreme where it causes us to miss worship service. Not taking it to an extreme where it causes us to miss other activities that we need to be involved in, such as gospel meetings and so forth, in service to God. Exactly. There has to be prioritization there.
Just about every point you've made tonight, and what Brother Richard just said, has to do with where we're placing the emphasis.
Exactly.
Paul made me think of this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, where he talks about our outward man perishing, but the inward being renewed day by day.
Right. 1 Thessalonians...
2
Corinthians
4
and verse 16, where it talks about our outward man is decaying day by day, but our inward man is being rejuvenated. How does that happen? By being involved in the things that we need to be involved with. Right. So he's talking about the fact that we talk about how we act when we're participating in an event, which of course we need to act the way we should during that, but also we need to not be sitting here thinking about a recreational activity like, you know, I wonder what the score of the baseball game is right now or something like that. There's a game going on. I have to admit there are times when I do think about that kind of thing, but I have to remind myself where I'm at and what I'm supposed to be doing. All right, I think the kids are coming in, so we'll end it there. That was the end anyway. Next class will be Sunday morning about civil government. What?